We're very serious when we say thank you for sharing your kids with us this week. Turning point in a lot of lives, Vacation Bible School. So when they come home and ask you questions or bring things up that came from Bible school, answer them, all right? And if you don't know the answer, there's nothing wrong with that. You give one of us a call, we'll get the answer for you. But thank you for doing that. Here at Wellspring, this is important to us. Kids, we love kids. Families, we love families. All because Jesus loved us. And on Sunday mornings, we won't have the kids on a typical Sunday morning, but we'll sing, and then we have a teaching time, and we go through the Scripture, book at a time. Okay, we're happen to be in the book of John now, and we're over to chapter 13. And I'll give you the abridged version this morning since our kids blessed us for some time. And that was so precious. What I want to do is, just turn over if you want to, over to John chapter 13. It'll be up here on the screen if you want to look up here instead. And I want to start reading in verse 2. And like I say, we didn't do this especially for anybody. This is where we are, okay? And so you just happened by on this particular day. During supper. Now this is on Thursday before Jesus is going to die on Friday. This is Thursday evening. He's going to die the next afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon on the cross. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose up from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, that's one of the disciples, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." I was listening to a guy last night, and if I mentioned his name, you'd know him probably or heard of him. One of the biggest pastors in the nation, I guess, okay? And he was talking about the grievous times. The last few years, and especially few months, have not been good if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, in our land at least. There have been so many things that have happened, the shootings and the decisions that have been reached and this, that, and the other. He said, "You know what? I want to say to you," as he was speaking over the radio, and he said, "This is not Barack Obama's fault. This is not the Supreme Court's fault. This is not the Islamic faith's fault." And I thought, "Buddy, you're shortening the list down pretty fast here." And he said, "I want to tell you today, it's not any of these folks' fault, but it's the church's fault." And I listened, and I thought, "Whoa, where are you coming from? It's the church's fault." And then it's one of those things that just the lights come on, and it is. And the reason it is because the church, I believe, and I use that writ large, the church, not any individual church necessarily, that we have abandoned what we read about in this passage of Scripture. You see, the church is either going to impact the culture or the culture will impact the church. And I believe that's what's happened in the land in which we live. Because the church has insisted on becoming an organization instead of an organism. And there's a difference. You see, in an organization, you have a CEO, you have a board of directors, you have a budget, you have an agenda, you have requirements, stipulations, structure, all those kind of things. That's an organization. We have a lot of folks in the business world here. It looks a lot like what you do every day. The church was never meant to be an organization. It is the body of Christ to be an organism. And what that means is that there is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. There is the gifter to the church, which is God the Holy Spirit. And He gives the individual gifts, and then those gifts are to be used to build up the body of Christ, the individual members, and to bring glory to the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. If the church was an organism, we would be impacting the culture. But since we're an organization, we're just written off. Well, Jesus challenged that drift to being an organization. In the passage that we just read, He delivers a radical challenge to this me-focused organization. You see, you got to do certain things to get the people in to put money in the offering plate or the box or whatever so you can finance the organization. And so in doing so, what you have to do is everybody has to feel good. If you don't feel good, you won't come. If you don't come, you won't put money in the box or the offering plate. And so we don't confront each other with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus radically challenges in our land today this concept of the church as an organization. And He does it in a unique way. Now, there's actually three parts to this sermon. The other two will be the next couple of weeks, okay? We won't be here till 3 this afternoon, I guarantee you that, okay? So you come back next week if you want to see part 2, and the week after that if you want to hear part 3. But we're going to look at the first part of a title that I've given this is, Are You Important Enough to Be a Servant? Are you important enough to be a servant? The setting here, as I said, is Thursday night. Jesus is going to die the next afternoon on the cross. It's Passover week. That's a big deal in the Jewish religion. And if you noticed in John's gospel, he doesn't deal with the administration or the preparation for the Lord's Supper. The other gospel writers do. John doesn't. He barely mentions it. And if you'll notice also, John is the only gospel writer that talks about the washing of the disciples' feet. Just so you said you were here today, you might bring that up at work tomorrow. Did you know? Okay? And you may be the big person at the office or whatever. So Jesus is with His disciples. That's the setting. Just the 12. Jesus and the 12. And the first thing I want us to look at this, which is the first point, the other points will be in weeks to come, the arena or the context of serving others. Now, John tells us that Judas was there. He's one of the 12. Judas, who would betray Jesus. He told us that Satan has already entered his heart for him so that he would betray Jesus and give Jesus over to the authorities here in just a few hours. And also in we're told that Jesus was fully aware of who he was. We read that here just a second ago. His Father, he knew his Father had given him all things in his hands. He came from God, and he's going back to the Father. Now, Jesus knew that Judas was present and was going to betray him. He also knew that he had all power. God had given all things into his hands. He can change the situation just by saying so. He knew that he had come from the Father, and he knew he was going back to the Father. Knowing those things, what did he do? He, first of all, he got up and laid aside his outer garments. Why did he lay aside his outer garments? He's going to get dirty. He's going to get wet. He got up, and folks, if you are going to be a part of the church that impacts the culture, you're going to have to get up. I'm not throwing rocks at you today, or myself. But there is no such thing as passively serving. They don't go together. Serving is active. And Jesus got up, he laid aside his outer garments, and he began to serve. The second thing he did, he got prepared to serve. He got a towel, he tied it around his waist, and he poured water into the basin. You see, he had to get up, and he had to get ready. And folks, what you saw this morning for these kiddos, this was not so that Wellspring could have Vacation Bible School. Around here, nobody gets paid. We don't have a children's director over here who's getting a salary and fringe benefit package. I'm not against that, but we don't have it. All right? The guy back there that led the singing and music is one of the elders. He gets nothing. I get nothing. We don't pay people around here. We don't have to have Vacation Bible School. It is not a requirement of anybody, except we want to touch kids' lives. That's the only reason. And so he got up, he got ready, and the preparation it took to do this started when, Andy, back in the winter? For 1 week. So that we can invite kids from across this community in our church and say, hey, come and learn a little bit about the God of this universe and his Son, Jesus Christ, that he sent to die for the sins of the world. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. So he got up, he prepared to serve, and one by one he washed the disciples' feet. Serving takes effort. And it's not neat either. Now, serving is a big word, big umbrella word that takes in a lot of things. But serving is not neat. Sometimes it smells. Sometimes it smells. Sometimes you have to touch yucky things. Feet are pretty yucky for most of us. You have to not only touch yucky things, but you have to touch yucky situations. I don't think it's any accident that Jesus washed their feet. You know, feet are pretty private parts of our bodies, aren't they? A lot of folks, and some of you today, you can pull your feet under your chair if you want to. You're going to great lengths to beautify your feet. Pedicures. Bud, you get a pedicure? You don't do that, huh? A lot of people do. I'm not against pedicures, okay? But trying to beautify that which is not naturally beautiful. Most of us want to hide our feet. They smell. They have bunions, calluses, nail fungus, toe hair. It's getting worse. Toe jelly even. These guys had all of those, no doubt, and they were dirty to boot. You see, Jesus got up, he got ready, and one by one, he washed the disciples' feet. It's in this context, then. Jesus served the very people that he had called. Who's the big guy in the room? Jesus. He called these 12. These folks were just fishermen, tax collectors, common people. He called them. They've been walking with him for 3 years. They've been following him for 3 years. Shouldn't they wash his feet? Wouldn't that be the thing to do? He's going to die in just a few hours. And Jesus, the one who called them, washed their feet. Another thing I noticed here. He served these people even though he had already poured his life into them for 3 years. Doesn't he get a break? I mean, I want to die in a few hours. Jesus, though pressed with the taking of his very life, takes the time to serve these that he called. You get the context? Is it coming clear? He's not getting paid for this. He's not getting paid for this. This is not his job. It's his life. And folks, until the church passionately sees serving one another and a lost world, the world is going to continue to walk by and we will not impact the culture. The culture will impact the church. He's not getting paid for this. It's his life. Catch this, okay? And most of us need to take this one home with us. Catch this. He even served the one who's going to betray him. Judas was in the group. I can see that line of disciples there, okay? I guess there was a line, I don't know, all right? And they're stepping up there, okay? He's down on his knees with the basin, the towel, etc., just like we read. And Judas walks up. Judas is one of the 12. Jesus called him. He did not say, "Get out of here. I know what you're going to do." And he did. "I don't want anything to do with you. You are going to hurt me deeply." Uh-uh. He washed his feet. Think of the person that's hurt you most in this life. Would you and I wash their feet? Just ask. He washed the feet of the very one who would betray him. He washed the feet of a person in whom Satan had his way. I mean, you know, we bump into some pretty horrible kinds of people. We want to drive around them. Jesus didn't. There's no one that is too evil not to serve them. Jesus did it. I can't think of anybody in the panorama of history that is going to be as evil as Judas Iscariot. But Jesus Christ washed his feet. He didn't refuse to serve the one who didn't deserve to be served. He didn't get up there and said, Judas, no way. Or Peter, you're going to doubt. You're going to deny me. No, 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 not you. He served everyone that was there. They didn't have to qualify. He's going to serve all of those who deny him, and that's the other 10. Judas is going to betray him. 10 of them are going to deny him. John's the only one that the scripture tells us didn't. He was at the cross. The rest of them are hiding. Peter even cusses about it. He's blankety blank blank, I don't know him. Peter's in the line. You see, if we're followers of Jesus, we don't get to decide who's in the line. We serve those who are in the line. That will impact a culture. That will say to a world, wow, I don't know what they have, but I want it. Because I tell you, folks, fear is sweeping across our land. Things have snapped in the last year or two. I mean, it's getting really shaky out there. He personalized his service. This is not some photo op. You know what a photo op is, don't you? With the political thing heating up and all, we have all these photo ops. They have one of the candidates who's serving at the soup kitchen. Okay? And it comes out on the news, okay? You know what they do? As soon as they're out the back door. They got what they wanted. You know, the ones that are in a fast food restaurant. They've never been in a fast food restaurant. But they get a photo op. This is not a photo op for Jesus. There's no press here. There's nobody paying attention. It's not going to be on the nightly news. Jesus is sincerely serving the people in the line. He gets nothing out of it. And he kept serving. And he kept washing. And did you notice here, nobody thanked him? Nobody thanked him. You know, Andrew didn't say, Lord, thank you. John didn't say, thank you. No, nobody thanked him. Did he stop after the first person failed to thank him? No, kept washing. He washes 24 feet. And no one thanked him. Folks, if you have a passion for service, you don't need to be thanked. Well, they don't appreciate me. I did so-and-so and nobody told me. They didn't call me up to the front that morning and say, look at what, you're a big deal. Who owns that problem? Folks, if you have to be appreciated to serve, you will not serve. And you've already got your reward anyway. He kept serving. No one thanked him. He even served when he was challenged for serving. We'll talk about this next week a little bit more. But Peter, it's his turn. He steps up in the line. And he said, you're not washing my feet. Give him a break, Peter. Jesus is serving. And he is challenged and told how he's supposed to do it and what he's not supposed to do by Peter. Peter even corrected him. But this is another take-home deal. The next five chapters in John are Jesus teaching the disciples. Okay? Jesus earned the right to teach them by first serving them. He earned their respect that night in that upper room. And as a result, he earned the right to teach them. Doesn't do any good, folks, to go out and try to tell a bunch of people something if they don't see a servant's heart coming to them. These disciples saw that. Don't you know that this was impaled in their being? You remember the night he washed our feet? Remember that? Remember that, guys? Don't you know that that down through the rest of the years of their life was going to be a driving force for them to reach out to their culture and serve those people that they came into contact with? Do you see why it's not working in our land today? The church has become an organization instead of being an organism. In an organism, you wash people's feet. And don't get in the weeds on that. We'll talk about that here in a few weeks, okay? That's not the only kind of serving. I don't know what is the service that you and I are supposed to be about today, this week. I don't know. If you tune in, you'll be told. We'll be told. But I don't know what it is. You see? And at that time, we can't say, this is who? You want me to what? I don't have time. You think Jesus didn't have time to do this? He's got an appointment with the cross in just a few hours. He's not going to get any sleep. Get a little rest maybe before the guard comes to arrest me in the garden. He made time to do that which is important. And what was important was speaking into the lives of these people by serving them. You see, he served them before he taught them. And you and I listen to people who are authentic, who are real, and who really care. Your Lord, if you're in Christ Jesus, just modeled for us this morning what we're to be about. Serving one another. Let's pray. Father, I'm personally humbled by what you did, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've got to be honest. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I could get up, start washing feet. I know that's not the only test, Father. There's so many other areas of service. You challenge me today, Lord, with your example. You touched some pretty wicked people that night. Especially that guy that Satan had filled his heart. You touched some people who are not going to be faithful. They're going to turn and they're going to run. You served them too. You even served those who were so antagonistic and so superior. They were trying to change what you were doing and telling you what to do and what not to do. You even served those people. Lord, I pray that we who name the name of Christ would have the heart of our Lord to serve one another. Not for our glory, not so that we get something out of it, tangible or intangible, but so the name of Jesus is exalted and lifted up. Father, be patient. Be patient with us, Lord, and give us the courage and boldness to go ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. If this is the first time you